Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
Here is the good news. Vacation is starting for a lot of Americans who want to take a long break. A lot of them leave around this time. The bad news is that they're going to get some sticker shock if they're driving and they stop by the gas pump because prices at a 7-year high and they keep going higher.
So gas prices are pretty high right now. They're at around $3.13 today. For most of the pandemic, they've been plateauing closer toward like the $2.16 mark, especially around the summertime. As it really got bad in the United States, gas prices really plunged all the way down to below $2. But we saw kind of a rise going up around the time of like the holidays and into the springtime as more and more people got vaccinated. My name is Matthew Choi. I cover energy at Politico and I write our daily newsletter, Morning Energy. You know, they are pretty high compared to the previous administration, but certainly not credibly extraordinary for this country. These are surges that were kind of predicted as the economy is opening up more, and as the global demand for oil goes up because more and more people are coming out of the pandemic. So they're high, but they're not astoundingly high.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Anthony Adragna. And today,
going up to Supreme, almost $5 a gallon here.
Demand is not stopping with the conclusion of July 4.
Gas prices go up.
You know, I don't know who can afford it if you're not rich.
Consumer spending oftentimes pulls back.
What is and what isn't driving gas prices up? It's Thursday, July 8th.
So the biggest thing is kind of the waning pandemic in the industrialized world. More and more people are getting out of their homes. More and more people are traveling for leisure. And that's driving up demand, you know, not only in this country, but also for oil around the world.
The national average has risen to $3.10 per gallon. That's up more than 42% from last year when the pandemic was keeping many people home and prices down.
There was some hope that there might be a little bit of relief with OPEC Plus agreeing to increase production a bit more this summer. However, that agreement never really came to fruition as the Saudis and the Emiratis kind of started butting heads over the weekend. So all these factors really kind of go down to the fact that the pandemic is starting to wane in a lot of the highest consuming countries, and that's just going to drive up gas prices.
So it sounds like a classic case of higher demand and a stable supply driving prices up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. All right, let's have Joe Biden enter the chat. How much control does the U.S. president actually have over domestic gas prices?
You know, not that much. A lot of it has to do with global oil demands. And you see kind of these massive price fluctuations with, you know, presidencies from both sides of the aisle, from Obama to Bush to, you know, Carter. So Biden's kind of hand in this has to do largely with his general hand in reopening the economy as a whole. And as that happens, as more people get vaccinated, that's really kind of driving up gas prices as opposed to, you know, him, you know, having his hand on some lever and choking off supply of gas to the country.
Now, a separate consideration is political messaging. Both parties have blamed the president of the other party for spikes in gas prices.
Your critics will say on Capitol Hill that you want gas prices to go higher.
Effective. Do you think the president of the United States going into re-election wants gas prices to go up higher? Is there anybody here who thinks that makes a lot of sense?
I remember in 2018, Democrats standing outside of a gas station just off Capitol Hill blaming President Trump for high gas prices.
According to energy analysts and experts, President Trump's reckless decision to pull out of the Iran deal has led to higher oil prices.
But how are Republicans dusting off that playbook for President Biden?
So I feel like they're really kind of leaning into this because it's the most obvious economic indicator for the overwhelming majority of Americans.
Gas prices go up. Consumer spending oftentimes pulls back.
So Republicans are really kind of tying this to some of their other kind of energy criticisms of the Biden administration, from, you know, the pause on federal oil and gas leases, even though those don't really have much of an immediate impact. And also the perennial favorite of the shutdown of the Keystone XL pipeline, even though that also didn't really have that much of an impact on prices at the pump. But it's a very easy psychological jump to go from, you know, here are some policies that seem more hostile to the fossil fuel industry, and therefore the price at the pump is more expensive for the average consumer.
And so just to really drill down and hone in on this point, the Biden administration's policies on the environment, transitioning to clean energy, seems like they could have a long-term impact on gas prices, perhaps. but not really the immediate impact that we're seeing right now.
Right. You know, like the Biden administration's policies don't really have that much of an immediate impact, just as, you know, is the case with any other presidency. Surely, as there is like greater transition, you know, away from fossil fuels, that will definitely have a market impact. But that's not something that you're going to see within like the first couple of months of the presidency.
What is the Biden White House saying in response to these increasing gas prices?
The Biden administration has been really like trying to push, you know, that they're sympathetic to the higher gas prices, particularly as people are traveling more this summer. But they've also been really kind of saying that, you know, look, this is like what's going to happen as the economy reopens, and it's going to temper as, you know, things kind of reach equilibrium. Another thing they've been using this gas price increase as an opportunity for is reiterating their commitment not to increase the federal gas tax in order to pay for their infrastructure plan. That's very politically unpopular, and they want to be very clear that, you know, that's something that they're opposed to as a pay for the infrastructure plan. And that's something that, you know, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki has been repeating.
Also, the private sector is lining up behind a federally mandated clean energy standard. On Wednesday, nearly 80 of America's biggest corporations pushed Congress to enact a standard. According to the companies, the standard would force American energy companies to hit an 80% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030 and hit the Biden administration's goal of fully clean electricity by 2035. In a letter, the company said a clean energy standard, or CES, would massively promote investment in renewable energy production. Among the companies who signed this letter are tech giants like Apple, HP, and PayPal, as well as the auto manufacturer General Motors. Already in Congress, moderate and progressive Democrats have spent months pushing for a clean energy standard and are hoping to get it passed in the bill expected to accompany the infrastructure package. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your dose of politics and the ins and outs of Washington, join Raghu Manavalan every morning at the Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. In 5 minutes, Raghu will get you up to speed with what's really going on in the nation's capital. Some of the music in today's show came from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.